Thus, this year, you realize that we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit and kind of one of these virtues a month. And I think we maybe got behind a little bit with the quarantine, but we're going strong here. So new month and focusing here on faithfulness. That's the one that we're on for now. So you can read that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law. And what we've been addressing this year is this emphasis that the gospel produces in me. God produces in me. God's work in me. As we've been looking at the book of Galatians, how he speaks about this new age of the Spirit, the living by faith and not by the law of Moses, those kind of things. That the gospel produces this faithfulness in me because of what God has done for me in Christ. So that's going to be our focus today, is we're going to look at what faithfulness means. We're going to talk about what that idea is, what are some practical ways we can live that out. But this idea of that this is what should be coming in my life, growing in my life, if I am walking by faith, walking according to the Spirit, if Jesus is in me, to use those different Bible expressions for this same concept. Now, if you're using the King James or the Holman Christian Standard, which I've used that some, that's a pretty good translation from my understanding. Yours is going to say faith here instead of faithfulness. And I had this whole thing to go into about how it's the same Greek word. It can be translated faith or faithfulness. You know, we covered a lot of that last year. Because remember, our theme from last year was God's our faith, God's faithfulness. And I think Matt has already brought that up today, this idea of we trust in the faithfulness of God. And so really, probably faithfulness is the idea here. You could maybe see ways that faith would make sense. What we're going to be talking about today is this fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness growing and abounding in my life as a Christian. Well, what does it mean to be faithful? Sometimes when we talk about these Bible ideas, they're regular everyday words. Sometimes they're kind of a special Bible idea. This is a regular everyday word. We talk about someone being faithful or not. Some words that seem to be strongly connected with the idea of faithfulness. So diligence or fidelity. Now, we don't maybe say fidelity every day, but we know we've seen that word before, so I was looking that up a little bit. Fidelity in recording. If you're into like audio things, they started using that word back when they were recording and making better and better recordings back in the last century. And, you know, a high fidelity recording would be one that really captured the original sound. If it doesn't have a lot of fidelity, it's kind of a bad audio recording. So that idea of accuracy, you know, it's right and true, that kind of idea. Loyalty, we know what that word means, a loyal friend. Being dependable, some of these words we'll see apply to different kinds of relationships. And as I was looking up a definition, sometimes it's good to use a Bible dictionary. That can be helpful. But this was Wikipedia's definition. I don't always recommend Wikipedia, but this was good. I think you'll agree. This is a really good definition. Faithfulness is the concept of unfailingly remaining loyal to someone or something and putting that loyalty into consistent practice regardless of extenuating circumstances. Isn't that a good definition of really the Bible idea, the biblical idea of what it means to be faithful and loyal? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, faithfulness is a lot like patience and endurance. We'll just make a handful of points here about this idea of faithfulness. It really is a lot like being patient and enduring, which means it's going to continue on when things are difficult. A faithful husband or wife continues on in that relationship and stays in that relationship, even if it's difficult. You might be able to express these two things this way. You need endurance or patience. You need endurance so that you can remain faithful and have that loyalty. You're going to have endurance to be able to stick it through, to really be that loyal friend, employee, or etc. So faithfulness often brings us into the realm of your work, like an employee. And when we were looking at the parable of the talents a few minutes ago in the scripture reading, That was intentional. That scripture reading, I think, is a good representation here of this idea of faithfulness. And they were given a lot of money. They were given a talent, was a huge amount of money. Thousands, maybe millions of dollars. It was the amount of international currency. So imagine one guy's given $5 million, one guy's given $2 million, one guy's given $1 million, told to go invest that and make some money. And the ones that were faithful, hardworking, dependable, did the work like they should have with their skill and expertise, that's to whom the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so this idea of an employee's job, a worker's job, a servant's job, this dependability and faithfulness enters into that realm. Even the idea of detailed obedience. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master set over his household to give them their food at the proper time?" The faithful servant who just does the daily work, right? It's his job to take care of the other servants there, give them the food when they need it. That's this hardworking, detail-oriented, if you will, servant there. What about this? This is a great definition. Sometimes when I'm working on a lesson, there's one verse that kind of keeps going over my head. And this was the verse that I kept thinking about. This idea of a definition of a steward is faithful. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, "This is how one should regard us, we apostles, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you were going to, you know, sum it down, to be a steward, you know, that household manager, that person who's in charge and doing that work, boil it down, what do they need to be? A steward needs to be faithful. And that means to do the work and to be loyal and dependable and all of those things. That is this idea of a steward be found faithful. That's what Paul says. I'm just a steward. I'm not the Lord. I'm just his servant going out and preaching the gospel. And as a steward, my job is to be faithful to the gospel, faithful to my mission and those kinds of things. So we see that faithfulness has that employee idea. But, you know, faithfulness also can have this relationship idea, not just a dependable servant, you know, a husband or wife or a friend, needs to be more than just detail-oriented. They need to have more than that. So faithfulness also connects us with this idea of relationships, this idea of fidelity in a marriage is maybe where we think of that most of all. But a faithful friend, being faithful to God and really being someone devoted to Him and diligent in that relationship. Here's this proverb. "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find?" Doesn't that encapsulate this idea where, you know, lots of people will say they're your friend. Lots of people, give me a call. When we moved into our new neighborhood back in March, and all these neighbors, right, meeting these new people in our cul-de-sac there, and you know, every last one of them said, "If you need anything, let me know." I was like, if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to rise above just that minimum neighborly level, right? Because everyone, I mean, basically, is going to tell you, "Hey, if you need anything, let me know." It would be rude to say the opposite, right? No, I'm your neighbor, but you know, keep it to yourself if you need anything. People aren't going to say that. So, of course, we're called to a higher calling than just that neighborly level. But many a man proclaims that he's a friend, proclaims his steadfast love, but a faithful man is really faithful. Who can find a good person like that? And of course, in the marriage relationship, here's not the word faithful, but faithless. When God's speaking of Israel's faithlessness as a spiritual adultery, she saw that for all the adulteries of that faithless one, Israel, I sent her away with a decree of divorce. So that's this faithless spouse. The people of God as God's wife, faithless to Him. And so, we see this relationship idea with faithfulness as well. So as I was looking into this, I was pretty sure that there was a bank called Fidelity Bank. Googled that, and there's all kinds of banks called Fidelity Bank, and Fidelity Investments, and things like that. And there's a reason why banks, financial firms, you know, investments, they like the name Fidelity. You can find several of those if you wanted to do that research yourself. And why is that? It's because, you know, someone's taking care of your money. You want them to have fidelity, right? Dependable. You know, I put in this $1,000 into my checking account. If I need to pull that out next week, I want it to be there. You don't want to show up at the bank and they say, you know, I'm just not sure we have that here. Let me double check. Oh, I think I have some receipts lying around from that. Like, no, you want a very dependable, faithful person, fidelity with your bank. So what would you think about different financial institutions being called inconsistent bank? Does that you know, sound like something you want to be interested in? How about treachery investments? Or bank at disloyalty? Well, I'm being silly there, right? What's the idea? The idea is that when we value something like our money, we want people to be faithful with it, dependable with it, trustworthy with those things. And of course, that's our idea that we're thinking about today. Am I being faithful to the Lord, faithful to His work, and those kinds of things? And as I was putting these verses together, and looking at this idea of faithfulness, this is a hugely important virtue. Now, it's not like we're going to go through the fruit of the Spirit and say, no, this one's not very important. You know, kindness, throw that out. That's not very important. No, they're all key. They all work together. I think it's this idea of these virtues kind of work together and feed off each other as God is growing me in Christ. But faithfulness is huge. And look at these verses that really highlight just how significant faithfulness is. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23. Matthew 23:23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." You see, when Jesus is talking there about the things in the law that were the weightier things, yes, they needed a tithe, but you know, at the end of the day, it's less important if you accidentally forgot an herb. God worked with people in their forgetfulness, or you know, these tithing of these little things, and they've been devoted and diligent with these little things and missed the weightier matters, the more important matters that God was concerned about, justice and mercy and faithfulness. We think about those passages in the Old Testament, statements like love, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. When even in the Old Testament, hey, let's boil it down to a few points here. And this idea that that was what they were missing, this faithfulness. What about Matthew 25? This was our parable we've been talking about this morning from the scripture reading. The master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." You see, that is what we are called to in Christ, to be servants who are faithful and trustworthy. And so there's a sense in which, what is Christianity? Boil it down, it's being faithful to Christ. And there's more to it than that. We talked about the essentialness of love, right? We talked about that, but everything you do be done in love. If I don't have love, my work is nothing. But faithfulness is key. Faithfulness is huge. So as we think about this idea of faithfulness, don't just quickly gloss over that. Don't just quickly read that and go, okay, yep, got to be faithful. Okay, what's next on the list? Think about in our life, are we being faithful to the Lord? Would God consider me faithful? And we're going to come back at the end of this lesson to this idea of, are we that good and faithful servant in God's analysis of our life? Now, as we've been looking here at different elements and virtues of the fruit of the Spirit, well, faithfulness connects to those, right? So patience was before this, and we've mentioned already this idea of endurance, always doing what's right, not giving up, not giving in. There's a faithfulness element to that. What about the two that are right before it? Kindness and goodness. Well, that, it seems, really connects to faithfulness. Because just as we've been talking about, the biblical kindness and biblical goodness is not an abstract thing. I'm not good and kind in my heart alone. No, from the Bible's perspective, you're only kind and good when you act those things out, when you actually do those things. If you have kindness and goodness in your heart, but you don't live it out, it's not real kindness and goodness. And isn't that the same thing for faithfulness? I can consider myself a faithful employee. Are you a faithful employee? I absolutely am. I don't show up on time. I don't do the work I'm told to do. I don't, are you a faithful? No, you're not a faithful employee. I'm not faithful in my heart. Oh, you know, you're a faithful employee if you're diligent, you do the work that you're being called to do. And so there's some real connections to those things. So as I was working on this lesson then, well, we could talk about this with faithfulness. We could talk about that. We've kind of covered that because we've talked about endurance. We've talked about this living it out. So what I want to do is, you know, try to hit on new things with faithfulness. So today we're going to be looking at the faithfulness of Jesus. And I mentioned that to Matt, picked out the song. That was our first song, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, looking to Jesus. And so we're going to talk about Jesus' faithfulness today, but God willing, in later lessons, I want us to talk about faithfulness in our marriages, that being a significant thing for us to consider. And then faithfulness with the gospel, like Paul spoke about, being faithful as a steward of the gospel. And so that's what we're going to try to consider. So in the time we have left, consider the faithfulness of Jesus. When you think about the life of Jesus, you know Jesus' stories, like I do. When you think about Jesus' life, what are the examples of faithfulness that come to your mind? What are the moments in his life that you feel like really exemplify the faithfulness of Christ? What about in the wilderness? He's baptized, he receives the Spirit in the form of a dove, and the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. He's tempted there, and Jesus completely obeys the will of the Father. I don't know about you, but after day 30, 32, 34, 36, being in the wilderness, he's fasting there and being tempted by the devil, I might be a little tempted to, God, I don't want to do this anymore. This is miserable. These are the worst 36 days of my life. And that's not how Jesus responded. He was faithful and obedient. He would not give in to the devil's temptations. And no matter what the devil threw at him there, in that great stress of his flesh, that Jesus was faithful to the Father. Jesus always said what was true. He wasn't intimidated by people. He spoke and said the things that needed to be said. I like this verse here in Mark 12:14. This is when they're coming to test him, right, to see if they can get him in trouble. And it says, they came to him and said, Teacher, we know that you're true and don't care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances, but you truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And we know that. Jesus answers that question. But look at what they say about Jesus. They say, Teacher, we know that you're true, right? You're faithful. That's his faithfulness idea. You don't care about what people think. You're not swayed by their faces, disapproval. You truly teach the way of God. Now, I fully understand. I acknowledge they're probably buttering him up here, right? They're probably saying, you know, look, Jesus, you know, we know that you're always willing to say the hard thing. So, you know, say the hard thing here. And they're really just trying to get him, you know, into trouble. But don't you think that there's a sense that they saw this in Jesus, that this was true about him? That we see this in other episodes in his life, that he was true. He didn't care about others' opinions. And the Pharisees, that the average person highly respected as very pious and devout, Jesus had his strongest words against the Pharisees. And so Jesus was true and faithful in his words. He completely surrendered himself to the will of God, and this was brought up by Jerry in the Lord's Supper talk this morning. That was a great tie-in with this point. That in the garden here, that's what Mark 14:32 and following is here. Jesus in the garden saying, Lord, please, if it's possible, may this cup pass from me, but not my will, may your will be done. And so probably our mind goes to the Garden of Gethsemane in terms of Jesus' faithfulness to the Father. And of course, we have the cross itself. And Hebrews that speaks of the cross, pointing to the pain of the cross, but also the shame of the cross. The cross was not just physical torture. It was humiliating. It was shameful. I mean, they take your clothes, you're treated and beaten like an animal, and he's mocked here and scorned. And that seems to be the emphasis of what the Hebrew writer says here in chapter 12, when he says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted the point of shedding your blood. And so the comparison is here. These Hebrew Christians have gone through a lot. They suffered a lot, and they're struggling in their faith. He says, look, you need to be faithful. Look to Jesus. You have not yet had bloodshed. Look at what Jesus is willing to do in the giving of his blood. And he endured such hostility against himself. And we fear that, right? We hate that when people are hostile and mean and disapproving and they reject us. We shy away from that. We don't want to be bold in those circumstances. Whereas Jesus, he says, consider him. That's this idea here. Consider the faithfulness of Jesus. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. And there we see the faithfulness of Jesus in that. But here's where I want us to really have our takeaway point. We talked about those kind of moments in Jesus' life. But here's the point that I really want us to take away this morning. Is that Jesus did all the work that God had for him. It's almost like if there was some divine checklist of all the things that Jesus is asked to do, all the things that God wants him to do, you know, tempted in the wilderness, preach the word, pick your apostles, do these things, go to the cross, and this whole list, that Jesus did all the work that God had for him. And Jesus says this about himself in John 17:4. Jesus said, I glorified you, Father, on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And Jesus could look back at his life. He's there nearing the end of his life. He says, I did the work. I was faithful as this servant, as this son, faithful to the work that you had for me to do. And that's what I want us to ask ourselves this morning. Can I say this about my life? That I'm accomplishing the work that God wants me to do. And Jesus, the faithful son, did all the things that God had for him to do. That employee idea of faithfulness, he did it all. What about us? Are we being faithful to all the work that God has for us to do? And with God's help, we can. With God's help, we can absolutely do everything that he calls on me to do. In all the roles, as an employee, as a boss, as a son, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a member of this congregation, I can do those things with God's help, all the work that he set for me to do. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, Acts 20:24, for I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And that's the idea here. That whether I die or not, that's not what's important. But I need to finish the course. I don't stop running. And this ministry, this work that I've been called to finish that, to keep that course, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And so here's where I want us to end. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Because here's the thing, is that God has told us he's going to judge our life. Everything we say, every deed, good or evil, is going to come into the judgment. And so I need to consider, you know, am I being faithful? Am I doing the work that God has for me? But you know, my self-judgment is not the one that really matters. I may feel like I'm a lousy Christian, and God may say, no, you're doing the work. You're going to heaven. Be encouraged. You're doing the work I'm having you do. My self-evaluation is not the evaluation that matters. It's the Lord's evaluation. And because he's going to judge my life, I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we need to be striving for, is that kind of accommodation, that kind of blessing and reception by the Lord. We want to encourage you in these things. If you're a Christian and you want to be more faithful, you want to do the Lord's work better, maybe we can help you. Maybe we can pray with you. We can talk. We can study the Bible. We want to build each other up in these things. If you're not a Christian, you can start your walk today. You can decide, I want to be faithful to God. I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And so if you want to hear those words, we want to help you in those things. Maybe even now. We stand and we sing a song.
This message was brought to you by the Lakeview Church of Christ. For more information and more sermons, visit our website at www.lakeviewchurchofchrist.org. That's www.lakeviewchurchofchrist.org. On the website, you can find additional ways to contact us if you're interested in Bible study or praying together or just talking about spiritual things. You can also call us at 813-451-3725. That's 813-451-3725. May God bless you as you seek Him with all your heart.